time to share it.
So we're going to see if we can work out the issue that we left off with, the machlokas, within the machlokas. That is to say, we already have the machlokas of Rav and the Gemara, in terms of the melamed schus, eno chos and melamed chov, is that limited only to the masa makin, but b'shas gemar din, we can't be choser, or no? We can't be choser at all, even b'shas gemar din. So now the Gemara is pursuing different issues, sources which seem to be a proof to one side, and then you have the refutation from the other side. The one that we're working on now is the case of Talmud Shezika Umes. The Talmud, that is, he's not a regular Dayan, he's one of the students that gather in the Sanhedrin, the room of the Sanhedrin. There are three rows of 23 each. And they are permitted to participate, but it's limited merely to the statement of Zuchus. So here we are learning that it's not just offering an opinion, but the opinion can be included in the count, which is very significant, that if you can tilt the balance in favor of Zuchus. So now you have the strange situation where he was malamed Zuchus, and we would assume that it stood. In other words, he wasn't broken down in the sense that his points are meaningless and thrown out. Obviously, that's something, it's schus. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. And then he died. Died when? Before Gemar Din. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says that Roano, so Kilu Chai Umazaka Ibn Gomo. So we have a right to count his vote. We assume we treat him as though he were alive and he was Mazaka. Ah! But the question is, how do you know if he was alive? He's still in Bazaka. Maybe he would change his mind. So therefore, the Makshan is deducing from that you must conclude that Malamed Schus, and that would apply to any Malamed Schus, even to, of course, to a Talmud, just like a Dayan, Eino Choser or Malamed Chov. He could not change his Afilu B'Shas Gemar Din. That's why we can count it. Even though he's not present at Gemar Din, because it's a conclude, this is his psak. So they want to prove from there that you could not have such a halacha unless you were to maintain, contrary to Rav, that afil b'shas Gemar Din ein ochorzo molaved cho. That's position one. However, not to be phased, the other position that defends Rav is maintaining there's no proof. Indeed, he could change at Gemar Din, and, well, he couldn't change. Let's put it this way. You have to be very careful when you say he could change. What do you mean when you say he could change?
Neutral.
The question could be raised, what do you mean? What's the other side saying that indeed he could change? He can't change for a different reason. And that is to say that the Talmud is only permitted to participate to do what? To be Malame Tchus. So what are you saying he's going to change? He can't change. Now this is a very crucial development, because if he can't change, because the Talmud is only allowed to argue for Tchus. So if that's the case, then it's not Akasha on Rav. And Rav could agree that this is a special case. Rav could say, yeah, you like the Makshan. The Makshan is saying, we count him. Roanoso, Kilu Chayim Mazaka Mukama. We count him as though he's alive and he's still Mazaka. And that proves that the Malamet Schus, Enochos and Malamet Chava, Fil Bashas Gemar Den, right? Yeah, but I would come back and say, that's not Akasha, because you're talking about the Talmud. And the Talmud can only argue for Schus, and the Talmud can't be Choser L'Chov, he can't even argue for Chov. So since that's the case, of course he's frozen in time, he can't change, so therefore there's no Raya from that. But they don't use that answer, but why don't we just use that answer? What are you talking about changing? You're talking about a Talmud. You're talking about a Talmud. And a Talmud can only argue for Schus. So what's you can't use that as a case. It's not a case to bring a raya from there. So indeed, I can agree with you. If the Talmud was Malamed Schus, and then he's Zika Umeis, and then he died, so of course we're going to count it as Schus, because what's the alternative? He couldn't have changed the Chol. Forget about whether you could change your position B'Shas Gemar Din, or whether you can't change your position B'Shas Gemar Din. It's a Talmud, and the Talmud only argues B'Chol. This goes back to the Mishnah, that in Dinei Nefashos, Hakol Malam Nishus, V'Ein Hakol Malam Nechova. Who is this referring to? Rashi says, Hakol Malamdin, V'Yafilu Talmidim, Hayoshvin Lufnei Adayonim, V'lo Nismanu Besten Al-Kach. Right? But the Talmud can only be Malamed Schus, and as we learned, if he gets up and tries to be Malamed Chol, Meshaskin himself. Let's try another possibility. I don't know if this will work, but at least we can express it. Perhaps the one who's asking the question, when he's stating that we can only count them as being Mazaka, is because he could not change his mind. And the other side is saying that no, he could change his mind, but right now this is the position he took, so we're not going to worry that he will change his mind. Now, the changing of the mind, what changing of the mind are we talking about? Are we talking about changing the mind in the sense that he no longer is a Mazaka? That would seem to be, that answers the question. That is to say that Rav can't defend himself by saying that a Talmud, once he was Malamed Schus, can change his mind because he's a Talmud, because he can't be Malamed Chov. He's not allowed to be Malamed Chov. Rav can't use that as a defense because the other side will come back and say, that's true, he can't be Malamed Chov, but he doesn't have to remain a Malamed Schus if he's no longer committed to his position, because that would be falsehood. When he finally votes at the end, he's got to vote in accordance with what he believes is the MS. If he doesn't believe it's the MS, as a result of the up and back, he was broken down and somebody showed him that he made a mistake, he's not allowed to, he can't vote anymore like that. So therefore, he would just rescind. So then the question would be, how can we count it if he died? How can we count it as a schuz? Maybe if he was alive, he would have changed his mind and rescinded. Not that he would have changed the Chav because he can't be Malamed Chav. But I don't need to show you that he can be Malamed Chav in order to argue that the argument is, but we can't count his vote to remove him from the roster of the votes for his Chos. That's one way to answer the question. That's the simple way of answering the question. That's undoubtedly true. I don't think anybody's going to argue that once the Talmud was Malamed Chos in the Masa Matan, and then he's forced to be Malamed Chos in the Gemara Din. That doesn't make any sense. Another answer is being suggested as a possibility, and we should think about it. Perhaps no. Perhaps the Makshan is saying that that in fact he could. He could be a Chozer and even be Malamed Chov. Thus leading us to the question, when we say that a Talmud is a Kol Malamdin Eschus, being a Kol Malamdin Chov, that means a Talmud, that a Talmud can't be Malamed Chov. Does that mean, only to begin with, in order to gain access to the participation in the Masu Matan, that he doesn't have rishus to join? Not everybody can just get up there and participate. You have to have some connection, some basis. So in order to gain access to participate, it's only for schus. Now, once he's Malamed Schus, and it's a Yeshmo Mamish, and it has substance, so he's elevated, so to speak, to the Sanhedrin. He's now elevated to the Sanhedrin. Now he's a participant. The question is, does he now assume the status of being a Dayan? If he assumes the status of being a Dayan, then one could argue that now he's like anybody else. Now he's not, he can be Chozer or Malamed Chov. If indeed it's possible, then he'd be governed by the same rules as anybody else. And according to the side that says that Malamed, like Rav, Malamed Chozer, Malamed Chov, at the time of the Gemara then. So then he's not a Talmud. He was a Talmud. Now perhaps he's permitted. It's an interesting chakira. Let us turn to the language of the Rambam and see whether any clue can be gleaned. That's in Perek Yud, Halacha Ches. Amar Echad ben HaTalmidim, B'dini Nefashos. Yeshli Lumod Olav Chova. If one of the Talmidim, see, he introduced himself, he has to state his intention. He says, I want to propose an argument for Chov. Meshaskin also, silence him. Amar Yeshli Lumod Olav Chos, if he says he wants to express an argument for Schus, Malin Oso Imohen, Lusanhedrin. Interesting. What does Rambam have to say? I just say, let him go ahead and do so. No, we bring him up. We bring him up from the place of the students, we bring him up to the Sanhedrin. He has to join together with the Sanhedrin. Im Yesh Mamash Bidvarav, Shomin Lo. Well, let's do the reverse. No, I'm sorry. Let's continue straight. If there's substance to what he's saying, we listen to him. The Eino Yored Misham Leolam, and he doesn't descend from there permanently. Although, what does that mean? That's a good question. What do you mean he doesn't go down from there? The Eino Mamash Bidvarav, and if there's no substance, Eino Yored Misham Kalayam Kulo, then he does not go down from there for that entire day. I don't know. It's not clear. What is it? A privilege to sit with the Sanhedrin? He gets a VIP treatment, so to speak. But what does it mean, Leolam? In the first case, if he was a Malanade, Eschus, and Mamish Bidvarav, then he doesn't go down Leolam. What does that mean? He becomes a permanent member of the Sanhedrin? On the surface, it seems to imply that he now becomes a permanent member of the Sanhedrin. But we have to wait to make sure that that's correct. Before we depart from this, also have to give further consideration to the next thing the Rambam says. Afilu amar hanidon atzmo, yeshli lalamid alat mischus. Even if the defendant himself says that he wants to argue for merit, for acquittal, shomen lo, we listen to him, the ol leminyan, and he's ol leminyan included in the count. V'hu sheyia mamash bedvarav, and that's if there's mamash bedvarav. That would be very, very interesting. Because we had learned before that was by an aid we learned. I'm saying an aid, not a bunch. So they're on the zone that the Nidon not only can express an opinion, but it actually counts. Does this shed any light on our question in terms of the Talmud? Is the halacha of the Talmud that is Eino Malami Chov, is that only at the outset? Or once he's admitted into the Masu Matan, is he permitted to change the Chov? According to those who say that that will be according to Rav, that is to say. According to the side, even a Dayan can't change the Chov. But according to the side that says that B'Shas Kamar, then you can change the Chov, would the restriction on the Talmud be removed at this point? Or that doesn't make, as far as that's concerned, is the Talmud. Therefore, if we talk about change, the only kind of change would be that he can remove his argument l'schus. Let's raise this question. The idea that the melamed l'schus ain't a chozer or melamed chov. Right? Okay. So let's ask ourselves the question. Is it just that he's prohibited to be melamed chov? Or that he's obligated to be Malamed Chos. What about the neutral position? What if he doesn't want to be Malamed Chos anymore? That is to say as follows. In the Masu Matam, we're not concerned, we're not raising this question. Because he's Malamei Schus. That's what Rashi says. He's got to stick with the position of Schus. Until the end of the Masu Matan. Then, in terms of the Gemara Din, so Rav maintains that B'Shas Gemara Din, it could be Chozer U'Malamei Chov. And the other position is maintaining that he can't be Chozer U'Malamei Chov. even at the time of the Gemara Din. So according to the other position, not the position of Rav, is he obligated to be Malamecho Mishas Gemara Din? Or no, it's just that he can't be Malamecho Mishas Gemara Din. That is to say, can he be neutral? According to the side which argues with Rav and maintains that if Phil Bishas Gemar Din ain't a chos of Malame Chov, what is the ain't is it ain't a chos there? Or is it Malame Chov? That is to say, let's say it's not Malame Chov, but he says, I can't vote for Schos anymore. Is he permitted to do that? Clearly, he's not, according to this side, he's not permitted to vote for Chov. You must say that the other position maintains ain't no chozer umalame chov with both things. That ain't no chozer. He can't change. He's got to stick with schos. Because if he maintained that you can rescind your position, he doesn't have to be malame schos. It's just that he can't be malame chov. So then this would not constitute a question on Rav. There would be no question from this because everybody, he himself agrees, he himself would be in the position. You couldn't deduce from the fact that Talmud Jeziku makes Ron also Kiri Luchai Mazakim Komo, he'd have a problem with that too, because how do you know he'd still be a Mazakah? Right? How do you know he'd still be a Mazakah? Maybe he wouldn't be a Malami Cho, but he wouldn't be a Malami Chos either. He would just rescind. You see? So if they maintain that is a possibility, that he can rescind his vote for Chos, then they couldn't be using this source as a question. The same question would be on them, or they'd have to follow the same answer. Hashtemios. Right now, that's his position. So therefore, since they use that to ask a question on Rav, it must be that they hold that he can't be chozer from his position. He's got to be a malamed schos. This fits in nicely with the way we define that position. The position that argues on Rav, we said it's not a din in the Gavra, a restriction on the Gavra, that he has to be mahapek paschuso, that's how we define the other position. See, it's a matter of participation, that this his role in the framework of the Masu Matan is to be the one who's designated to be mahapek paschuso. But he can't change from that role, it's a role phenomenon in the Gavra. But in terms of Gemara Din, that's a different story. But according to the other version, it was halacha in Hatzalah. That once you have, it's then in the orah shel schus, that the orah shel schus can't be rescinded. If it can't be rescinded, not only can he not convert to chov, but he can't remove it. That's it. Doesn't matter now what he thinks now, you paskin already. Just like it wouldn't matter a day after the trial is over, Gemar Din, doesn't matter what the judge thinks today. Doesn't matter. This is what you voted at the time that you voted. Just going to repeat what I said to clarify. The one who's asking the question is saying that the halacha of Talmud Chazika Umeis, Roano Sokilu Chai, Umazaka Mukomo, is saying that the only way we could count him as a vote for Schos is because it's impossible for him to change, not that he just that he can't change to chov, but he can't rescind at all. That's the way he's learning it. As we've explained, if he didn't learn it that way, then we have no question on Rav. Now I'm saying that way of learning is in line with the way we defined the position. Originally, when we defined the position of the person who holds that malame schos eino chos or umalame chov. Afilu b'shas gemar din, we defined it in such a way that it would make sense not only that he can't be malame chov, but that he can't rescind, because we said that his concept is that once a schus, it's a mechefta shel schus, once a verdict of schus is conferred upon the nidon, remember the Ran, he compared it to the verdict of the bezdin as a whole, and he said the same halacha applies to the chalos of the psak of the horah l'schus, that it can't be rescinded. If it can't be rescinded by the bezdin, so then it can't be changed to neutral. So not only that prevents the change, the chav, but it also prevents any change. It means it remains on the books. That's it. You're finished. You gave us your verdict. For you, it's over. That's the way we defined it, and that we see is being borne out by the way he learns the case at hand.